Chris and Rob, late night talk show WAIF, joined currently with Lloyd Pye, who is going to tell us a little bit about where humans really came from. His book is called Everything You Know Is Wrong. After 20 years of research, Lloyd Pye has discovered that an ancient race of superior beings genetically engineered the human race to be their servants and slaves. Even modern astronomers strongly suspect that the planet that these beings came from does exist somewhere in the great beyond. Hello, Mr. Lloyd Pye. Welcome to the Chris and Rob Show.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, now, getting things off to a bang here, humans are genetically engineered to be slaves of an alien race?
Well, that's what the Sumerians tell us in their writings of 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. I didn't just pull that one out of a hat.
Now, who are the Sumerians?
The Sumerians are the first great culture that we have on the planet that we know about. They walk out of the Stone Age about 6,000 years ago, possessing over 100 of the firsts that we attribute to a high culture. They were, in fact, the highest of the ancient high cultures, but we're not taught anything about them.
They invented beer, right?
Excuse me?
They invented beer?
They did, as a matter of fact, and wine.
You know, something that, this is a little off the subject, but something that always struck me a little strange about the invention of beer was, who was the first guy to drink that stuff?
Well, I don't know, but the first people to make it actually were the Sumerians, indeed.
Well, just think, you got some rotting water with some, like, rotting grain in it. Somebody had to say, hey, let's drink this.
God bless the Sumerians.
That's right. Well, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're going to talk about all this and much more. If you'd like to call into the program and talk to our guest, that phone number is 961-8900.
So the ancient Sumerians, 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, wrote some writings which lead you to believe that we are actually what?
We are, according to the Sumerians, we are a hybrid creation between the race of beings that live on this other planet in the solar system called Nibiru, and those people are called the Anunnaki, and we are a hybrid between them, mostly them, and what they termed the creatures of Earth. The creatures of Earth at that time could only have been what we term today the hominoids. That would be, there are four kinds of hominoids. One kind is Bigfoot Sasquatch, another kind is the abominable snowman Yeti. There are two other kinds that are dominant in other parts of the world. We don't know much about them in the West, but they're in other places, Almas and Agagwis. And it seems to be that the Almas are living Neanderthals, and so they took some of the genes of the Almas, the living Neanderthals, mostly themselves. They said in their texts, the Sumerians did 4,000 to 6,000 years ago, we shall make the Adamu, they call the slave servant, the Adamu plural, which comes down in the Bible as Adam. We shall make the Adamu in our own image, after our own likeness, which they did, which is why we don't look like anything like any other primate on the planet.
Well, now, if there's currently a Bigfoot or Sasquatch or Neanderthal type creature among us, this is a question I always bring up whenever we do Bigfoot topics on the show.
Okay.
Why hasn't this creature been discovered? There would have to be enough of a population to sustain their existence this long. And where do the bones go when they die?
Well, it's a two-part question. The first part is there's actually very ample evidence going back for centuries. We have killings, we have captures, we have enslavements with very good documentation. It's just a record that is not acknowledged in the same way the writings of the Sumerians are not acknowledged. They're just left off the table and swept under the rug. So is the evidence for hominoids, although it's very, very clear that these things do exist, and we have good examples of them. Now, as far as their bones, they live in very deep forests and jungles. That's their habitat, their natural habitat, what are called montane forests and jungles. It will surprise you and most people to know that those areas simply do not produce fossils, do not produce bones in the way that you think they would. There is to this day not a single fossilized chimpanzee bone, although we know chimpanzees go back for millions of years, not just hundreds of thousands, millions of years. So the areas that they live in simply do not produce bones. When you drop and fall and die in an area like that, you are chewed up down to the bones by bacteria and fungus in a matter of a few weeks, if not 2 or 3 months. There's just nothing there. Mother Nature cleans her plate, so that's why we don't have that. But we do have plenty of data and plenty of evidence about their existence from around the world.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, talking to Lloyd Pye, who's telling us about where humans really came from, the Anunnaki, an alien race that hybrid humanity. And if you'd like to call into the program, the phone number is 961-8900.
Okay, so what do the Anunnaki look like? If we were to go to the planet Nibiru, what do the Anunnaki look like?
The Nibiru, according to the Sumerians, look very much like us. We are an inferior version of them. For the most part, they have very light, very, very pale skins. They have blonde to reddish hair. And they have the one thing that distinguishes them, according to the Sumerians, is that they had an ethereal glow that was visible to human eyes, a kind of a whitish aura around themselves. This is where the tradition of halos to distinguish angels from heaven or angels of the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. That's why halos came to distinguish them, because of that aura that they had around themselves. They couldn't walk into a room of us today and go unnoticed. Some people contend that aliens do that. That's not the evidence as left behind by the Sumerians.
Lloyd, are these the same aliens or UFOs that are abducting humans by the millions, by the droves, like you see in the movies and on TV and on sightings and in search of and on radio programs all over the country?
I'm not certain it's in the millions, but I do believe that the Anunnaki, when they left, according again to the Sumerians, they left around 200 BC en masse from the group that was here, that was working here and living here from around 400,000 years ago when they first came. And they appear to have left a few behind to monitor the experiment. There are two kinds, according to the Sumerians. Again, there are the Anunnaki, the ones that look like us, and then there are the Igigi, the Igigi, which seem to be the grays. So, yes, they left some behind. Now, there seem also to be other boss races. In other words, when people are taken on board, they deal with the grays mostly. Occasionally, they will encounter a boss or deal with a boss. There seem to be four types of those, one of which has come to be called the Nordics. The Nordics seem to be the Anunnaki.
I know what the grays are. If I recall, the grays are a little shorter with the big bulbous eyes and the big
and
bald
the
heads.
Spindly limbs. Exactly. Yeah. What you see in, yeah.
But what's the boss? Is that like Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, well, it's the Bruce Springsteen of the Anunnaki, right? The ones who tend to give the grays orders, and they tend to respond immediately. When people see those, there again are four types of those, one of which has come to be termed the Nordics, and those seem to be the Anunnaki. They're described exactly the way the Sumerians describe the Anunnaki.
You say Nordic, you mean like the Swiss and the people from the Netherlands? Exactly.
Well, not the Swiss, but the Swedes. Exactly.
Swedes.
Nordics, in that they are tall and they are very pale-skinned and they have blonde
to
reddish hair. Yes, that's why they
like
call
the
them
Cardigans.
Nordic.
Have you seen the Cardigans?
No, the group?
There's a band
I've heard
the
their
Cardigans.
Song and I like it, but I haven't seen what they look like.
The Swedish bikini team? I'm sure you've seen the Swedish bikini
ABBA?
Team.
I've seen ABBA, yes.
So ABBA could be
the Anunnaki?
Anunnaki.
They might be. They did very well. Could possibly be. ABBA might have been Anunnaki.
Waterloo.
Well, I've heard that the people in Iceland are some of the most beautiful people in the world, because back in the day, the Viking day, the Vikings colonized Iceland with all their best-looking people.
I've been to Iceland, and I would make an argument for that. They're very good-looking people. They really are.
All right.
Look, as good-looking as Viking descendants can be.
Not as good-looking as Chris and Rob. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. If you'd like to call into the program and talk to our guest, Lloyd Pye, talking to us about, you've been listening. The phone number is 961-8900. I say you've been listening because this is mind-blowing. It's even kind of hard to describe, even when you're right here talking to someone who's studied the ancient Sumerian text. Mr. Pye, tell us a little bit, tell us the story from the beginning. When did the Anunnaki first come here? How did they exactly create humans? And what is the story behind this so-called experiment called humanity?
All right. Well, what they say is that as the solar system was forming, when it was still very plasmid around 4 billion years ago, a stray planet like the one that we saw just a few months ago being expelled from the double star system came drifting into the area of the ecliptic, and the four large outer planets gripped it in their gravitational pulls and swung it in toward the sun, which captured it. In an elliptical orbit rather than a circular counterclockwise orbit, this is an elliptical clockwise orbit like a comet. And that planet they called Nibiru. On that planet, much later, 4 billion years way later, somewhere along the line, they developed this superior race of beings called the Anunnaki. In their rise to a high technology, the Anunnaki damaged their atmosphere, and they need to repair it with, of all things, gold, which is exactly what we will have to repair our atmosphere with, because we're damaging it in exactly the same way they damaged theirs. Gold, for the reason that it is an ideal reflector, it is an ideal insulator, and it is, most importantly, it blocks cosmic rays. So if you grind it up into a fine enough powder and put it above your stratosphere, it will stay there and act as a shield and repair the holes. This is what they say. We have to take their word for it. They came, they didn't have enough gold on their planet, which is larger, a little bit larger than Uranus and Neptune, about three times larger than Earth. So they came here at around 400,000 years ago to collect the gold. They settled in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, modern-day Iraq, and they call their home away from home the Eden, which of course comes down to us in the Bible as Eden. There they lived in what came to be known as the upper world. Eden was the upper world, and they placed or mined gold out of those rivers for about 150,000 years. When they ran it out of the ability to place or mine it, because they were a flying people, they had found the mother lode in southern Africa, so they split themselves up into the upper world and the lower world, and the lower world became the place where you dug gold out of the ground. And it was those, when the Anunnaki had to dig the gold, which is much harder than placer mining, they rebelled and said, we want a slave. They told their leaders, we want a slave to do this work. So they decided to make a slave and a servant using some of the genes of the creatures of Earth to make the slave and servant better physically adapted to the planet than they were, but mostly their own genes. And so they made us in their image after their likeness, just as it says in the tablets and then later in the Bible. And we are the product of their hybridization process, genetic engineering, and our genes do in fact show several examples of clear manipulation. There can be almost no doubt from a physiological standpoint that we are genetically engineered just the way they say.
So are we still being bred to be slaves? Are they going to come back and make us slaves again, or have we done our time?
I think we've done our time, frankly. I think when they come around again, the planet has a 3,600-year orbit. That's very clear in a number of places in the text. So with a 3,600-year orbit, if they came around at 200 B.C., they will not be around again until 3,400 A.D. So I think they're giving us basically 1 year of their time in order to shape up and join them as equals, or we will destroy ourselves and they'll just clean up the mess.
So what you see, they're on the other side of the sun now, so we really don't have to worry about them?
It doesn't work that way. They're at what's called aphelion, which is their farthest point away in that long elliptical orbit. They've just passed aphelion, so they're coming this way again. They've rounded the curve, so to speak. But they've just rounded the curve, and they have a very long way to go, probably 300 to 400 astronomical units to get back.
And all this is in the ancient Sumerian text?
Yes, it is. And this is why those texts have been consigned to what was called the myth pile by scholars when they were first being translated in the late 1800s and early 1900s. They were just all put aside, and then a man named Zechariah Sitchin in the 1950s went into that pile saying, wait a minute, how does the first culture get a myth? Who hands it down to them? That has to be a history. They're telling it the way they understand it as a history.
I would think it'd be an oral tradition?
No, it was a written. It was handed down to them, written in stone. They wrote on clay tablets that they fired into stone, and those tablets exist in the as many as 100,000 or more in their libraries. Understand that the Sumerians, instead of, you know, the first culture you would think would come out of the caves on bloody hands and knees, you know, fighting their way out. These guys walk right out of the Stone Age and establish a culture with the first, basically, of everything. They had the first well-put-together cities, the first city centers, the first high-rise buildings, the first laws, the first business, the first education, the first math, the first writing, the first widespread trade, the first wheeled vehicles, the first roads, the first hydrology, the first agriculture, the first animal husbandry. They had everything, and so, except talk radio, of course. And so they say they're very clear in their writings. We were given all this. All of this was given to us by our gods, by our masters, small g gods, the Anunnaki. And so because of the bluntness with which they put it, those things were considered absolutely impossible, phony, false myths, and just put aside.
You refer to these people as small g gods. There
right.
are probably a lot of religious people, not probably, I'm positive that there would be a lot of religious people that would take issue and umbrage with your interpretation of the Bible.
Well, they do, frankly, until they understand that the Anunnaki themselves believed in the big G God, the cosmic God. That was their belief system. And we, when we were with them, when they were with us, we dealt with them on a day-to-day basis, and so they were our small g gods. But they always said, or they promoted the idea of that they had been created by a large G cosmic God. And so that when they left us, then that is when we just took their system as our own. And so that is where these things don't just come out of nowhere. They don't come out of thin air. Where do you get the idea of a big G God, of a monotheism? We got it from them, and we developed it after they left us behind with no more small g gods in our lives.
Does Jesus Christ fit into your timeline?
Yes, actually, I'm fairly convinced that Jesus was indeed a half Anunnaki. There was a lot of miscegenation between the gods and the humans. It's in the Bible, and the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair and took unto them wives of all which they chose. It's replete throughout the Sumerian tablets, the mixing and mingling of the gods and the humans creating the demigods. And so I believe that Jesus was clearly a demigod. He was the union of an angel, you know, an angel, one of the Anunnaki, and a human, Mary. And that's why he had the outstanding powers and abilities that he had.
Mr. Pye, what about one of the most mysterious wonders of the world from ancient times, the pyramids and Sphinx of Egypt?
Very clearly created by the Anunnaki. There's no, absolutely no way that could have been done by humans if you've ever been there, but it doesn't take much to understand how incredibly complex and precise that both of those edifices are, particularly the pyramids, but the Sphinx as well. We could not duplicate those, either of those, today. Now, we hear that, well, somehow those old people found a way to do it. That it's pure malarkey. The Sumerians are very clear that the Anunnaki created not just those, all of the major edifices around there. Wherever you see large megalithic stonework, and that would include Baalbek, Tiahuanaco, Teotihuacan, all around the world, that is the handiwork of the Anunnaki. The Sumerians say they had tools to both cut the stones and make them light so that they could put them into place.
A Stonehenge, an Anunnaki calendar?
Stonehenge, yes.
What about Easter Island?
Easter Island as well. Anytime you have those giant stones that we can't work today, again, you hear all kind of theories about how the primitive people might have done it, but when you get right down to it, we can't duplicate it today with our technology. It just didn't happen the way we're told, and I believe what the Sumerians say, that the Anunnaki did it. They had the tools to do it, they had the knowledge to do it, and they did it.
So why is the Sphinx a half lion, half person type thing?
Well, apparently the Sphinx was different in its original form. It was a lion all the way, and then as the water, I'm sure everyone has seen the television documentary about the Sphinx and the watering problem, the weathering problem on it. The classic Egyptology says that the Sphinx is only the same age as the pyramids, 4,500 years, and yet the weathering around the edge of it in the Sphinx itself shows that it had to have been done by water, and the last time there was water at that capacity was 8 to 10,000 years ago. So the Sphinx must have been much bigger and had a completely lion's body. The head got weathered away so badly that they just carved a human head on the body, because the head is much smaller than the rest of the body if you've ever actually been there.
Now, did the ancient Anunnaki, when they wanted to breed a race of earthling slaves to mine the gold in South Africa, and so they decided to mix their genes with hominoid genes, either a Bigfoot, a Yeti, or the Momo, which I'm sure you're familiar with, the Missouri monster.
Absolutely.
Now, did they actually get it on with the Momo, or did they have some sort of laboratory gene splicing DNA test tube babies.
Laboratory gene splicing test tube babies.
So they never really partied with the Momo.
They couldn't because the Momos have 48 chromosomes and they have 46 chromosomes. And the reason we know that is because we have 46 chromosomes. This is one of the major proofs of our genetic engineering, and also one of the problems that is just glossed over by science. We are supposedly evolved from the primates. All primates have 48 chromosomes, 24 male, 24 female, mixed together 48. We have 46. How do we lose two whole chromosomes? That's a heck of a lot of DNA, guys. We should be much less than the primates if we lose two chromosomes. We shouldn't be much more. We should have 60 chromosomes, if you see what I mean. So there's something wrong there, and what's wrong there is that you couldn't have interbred them like that. What the Anunnaki had to do was make the 48 chromosome go down to 43, or the 43, their own 43, 23 go up to 24 so you could get a mating. You couldn't, there's no way to do that. So what they did was they inverted and connected, fused two of our chromosomes so that we would fit the package without losing any of the chromosomal material. One of the clearest examples of genetic engineering in our bodies is the fact that our chromosomes have been obviously fooled with.
But aren't chimpanzees about 99% the same DNA as humans?
Yes, they are, but that's a smokescreen. All living, advanced, high-level creatures have about half of their DNA the same. So you're starting out at that point instead of zero, and then you go up. Now, understand this, with a human, typical human genome, you're talking about 3 billion base pairs. Those are the most fundamental units, base pairs. So with 1% difference, you're talking 30 million base pairs. So if you know what you're doing with the base pairs, as the Anunnaki apparently did, that is room for an awful lot of change.
Lloyd Pye, your book is called Everything You Know Is Wrong, subtitled Part 1, Human Origins. What will Part 2 be titled?
I think it's going to be Speculations at this point. As I go around the country speaking, people more and more want to hear what I think. The book itself is very fact-based, and I stick with the facts very much. But people want to hear, well, what does it mean? What's it, just exactly the kind of questions you're asking. So I think I'm going to do that, a book that will go further out on a limb as far as speculation goes.
Can you read Sumerian?
No, I cannot, but Zechariah Sitchin can. I, in part four of my book, rely very heavily on his work and his interpretations of the Sumerian text.
Where's your book available?
It's not in bookstores. It is on Amazon.com, but you can get it through an 800 number, 1-800-444-2524. It's 1-800-444-2524. It's $20 plus $4 shipping and handling.
We wrote that down. If anyone has further questions, they can call us here at the station. Thank you, Lloyd Pye. We're going to keep you on file, and next time we do a Bigfoot show, we're going to call you.
Absolutely. Love to hear from you. Appreciate it very much.
All right, thanks, and good luck with future studies.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show. Wow.
I'm going to say that was the greatest guest we've ever had.
Better than Bootsy Collins?
He's tied in Bigfoot, UFOs, the pyramids and Sphinx all together, and angels and God.
And slavery. Don't forget slavery.
And he tied together 6 different ideas in one neat package, and I gotta tell you, he sounded to me like he had evidence to back up what he was saying.
But he didn't have enough sex. I mean, test tube babies just don't cut it.
Well,
I want to hear a little bit about the old in and out, you know what I'm saying? Especially that alien in and out. Oh yeah,
with that chick with the cardigans.
Oh yeah. The Chris Rob Late Night Talk Show here on WAIF, keeping it real. The phone number 749-1444.
Do it.
back on the air with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. This on the AP Wire from Beijing, China. The China Daily newspaper says that a nature reserve has planned to lure tourists with safaris to discover Bigfoot. The reserve would offer a $60,000 reward for the capture of the elusive man-like creature.
Why you want to see our Bigfoot?
Also known as Yeti.
What's he known as in China?
Yeti.
Okay.
Well, maybe Ayati.
The newspaper says that the State Forestry Administration there outside Beijing believes that the expeditions might also mislead people and harm the environment. Chinese scientists have looked for Bigfoot in the past, but the country's scientific community recently declared there's no evidence that the creature exists.
Yeah, right. You're going to believe the Chinese? Those guys run over protesters in their tanks? We're going to believe the Chinese? I don't think so.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF, keeping it real. The phone number 749-1444. Calling all the way from Newport, Kentucky is Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's on your mind?
Well, the last guest you had on the show, I mean, as far as Stonehenge, yeah, I agree with that. But this stuff that he's saying about we're slaves of aliens and stuff like that.
Well, it's conjecture, Rick. I mean, it's conjecture. The guy, you know, he reads books by Zachariah Sitchin. You know who Zachariah Sitchin is? He's the guy that did that TV show and book series called Chariots of the Gods. He was the guy that was saying, you know, these big giant paintings on the desert in Chile. Down there, you know, they got big paintings of monkeys, but they were created by UFOs. This guy says that the UFOs created the pyramids of Egypt and all the other great wonders of the world because he doesn't have enough imagination to think that humans could triumph over nature.
No way. If you think some little sawed-off 5'5" Egyptian guy built the pyramids, you're out of your mind.
Well, not some guy by himself.
No, I mean, if you think a few thousand little short Egyptian dudes built the pyramids, you're out of your mind. There's no way.
I think the aliens might have came down and gave a little, you know, criticism and taught them, but I think, I mean, this guy is like...
So the Anunnaki would come down from the planet Marmaduke and they would say... hold on there, Mr. Egyptian dude. Hold on there, Pharaoh. Your pyramid's leaning a little to the left.
I mean, I believe in the crop circles and all that in Stonehenge, but I think this guy is just... way past medication time for this guy.
What's wrong, man? Why can't you knock down those doors that are restraining your mind and take the scales off your eyes and clearly see the truth?
Well, because I think it's very much distorted because, I mean, this guy is...
He's got Sumerian documents to back up his claims.
Okay, well then how come these documents aren't in his book?
The documents are there for the public record. Just look up Sumerian documents.
It's probably at sumeriandocuments.com.
Probably. But I think the guy is definitely, you know, he's...
So you can believe and accept that there are aliens. And you can believe and accept that there are Bigfoots, Yetis, Momos. But you cannot believe and accept that we... are the result of a experiment with the Anunnaki aliens and hominoids.
Okay, well then let's think of it this way. These beings that he says are perfect, right? In every way.
No, he didn't say anything about them.
He just said
being
they were
perfect.
Aliens. He didn't say much else about them, actually.
Okay, well I just don't think that this guy.
Look, have you ever seen the lead singer of the Cardigans?
No,
she's heavenly.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that.
She's otherworldly, okay? Have you ever heard her sing?
No, I have not.
Her voice is otherworldly, too.
Well, then I don't doubt you there, but this guy is way the heck out in left field.
Hey, listen, old Ricky there. You know, they said that when Edison said, hey, I can build a piece of glass that will burn and illuminate a room, they said that man was crazy. When Alexander Graham Bell said, I'm going to build a device which will allow people to talk to each other on the telephone, they said that man was crazy. When Charles Darwin put forth his evolution theory, they said that man was crazy.
Don't forget Galileo.
They also thought Edgar Allan Poe was crazy.
So you're comparing this guy to Edgar Allan Poe. That's not too bad of an assumption to make. One day in the near future, Rick, when Lloyd Hare Pye is dead and in his grave and gone to see his maker, perhaps you will be showing up at his grave at midnight on the date of his birth with three perfect red roses and a bottle of fine cognac to leave at his grave.
Well, perhaps, but until then, he's still living and perhaps still in his own little world about aliens, but, you know, until then, I can't condone to what he's saying. Now, I'm not saying that some of the things he said, like about Stonehenge again and other stuff like that there, and with the Sasquatch, yeah, I'll cop to that, but this other stuff, no.
So, Rick, what you're saying is that you believe in UFOs and you believe in Bigfoot, but this other guy that believes in UFOs and Bigfoot is crazy. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Think about it. You know, there's a big difference. He thinks that we're slaves.
No. We used to be slaves. We're no longer slaves. We are free, and we shall remain free unless the Anunnaki in another 3,000 years decide they want to take us over.
Hold on, you guys. Rick, tell us a little bit about your concept of UFOs and Bigfoot. I want to hear what you think UFOs and Bigfoot are all about.
Well, basically, they are UFOs. No one's actually ever seen one enough to...
You're saying that they're unidentified flying objects.
Yes, they are.
They're nebulous. They're mysterious. They're from the great beyond.
Well, yes, of course.
No, I'm saying they're visitors from another planet. They could be the Anunnaki coming back to check up on us to see how their offspring have done, much as how your parents would visit you in college.
Well then, think about it. I mean, there's Christ, you know, there was Jesus and Moses and all
Christ.
That. Yeah, and it doesn't theoretically fit. I mean,
okay,
the
Anunnaki, Rick.
I mean, come on.
Rick, just because the terms are new, you know, are new to you, does that mean that they are
It sounds
strange?
Like some Jewish drink for crying out loud, you know?
Okay, I know anti-Semitism when I hear it. You're gone.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. We've got lines open. Lines out the wazoo. Give a call, 749-1444.
Last year, there were 3,855 cooking-related fires in Ohio. Most kitchen fires occur when cooking is left unattended. Keep a careful eye on food being cooked so you can respond quickly if something goes wrong. It's also important to pay attention to the cooking area and remove hazards such as potholders and other combustibles.
Let's go back to the phones. 749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Hello, Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Word.
Hey. I just wanting to call and find out, hearing that last guy that just called up. And
that would be the guy that just called Rick from Newport, or our last guest?
Yeah, Rick from Newport.
Okay.
I'm just curious, he ought to do a little bit of studying as far as with the dollar bill. I mean, it sounds like
Masons.
Old and cliche, but like...
You're going to the Masons, man.
Oh, well, they knew something. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and start pointing fingers, but they have their secrets, you know? And it's like,
everyone knows that the Masons got a few secrets.
The all-seeing eye on the back of a dollar bill.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Rick, do you accept it truth that there's no way that a bunch of almost midget-sized Egyptians could have built the pyramids and the Sphinx?
I think that they had they had to have some sort of hand in it because, I mean, they were used prior to, the idea of them being used as a tomb is ridiculous. I mean, it was only used as a tomb later on.
One's ever found a dead body in a pyramid, you know that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got that, and you have, the idea that they...
You know what else?
One big calendar going to May 5th, year 2000, when we had the polar shift.
You know what else you don't have inside pyramids? Hieroglyphics.
Yep.
There are no hieroglyphics inside pyramids.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Well, every other Egyptian structure from the supposed... dynasties of Egypt has some kind of hieroglyphics written on them.
Okay,
but the pyramids do not.
So what are you suggesting with that highly interesting factoid?
Well, that perhaps the pyramids either had another purpose or were built by someone else from the great beyond.
So, Eric, you're saying they've never found, and King Tut was not found in a
King
pyramid?
King Tut was in a tomb, not a pyramid.
Yeah.
Isn't the pyramid in the tomb? Or isn't it the tomb in the pyramid?
It was built later on. I mean, it was like an add-on.
So it's like the annex.
Yeah, more or less. It was like, I mean, shit, take a look at, what is it, the
nice
Dropa.
Mouth. Nice mouth there.
I'm sorry. I said shoot.
Right.
I don't know if you guys heard about the Dropa. I mean, they were like predecessors to the Tibetan monks. And they, one of the things that they pray to is like this like huge stainless steel monument that's like supposedly from when their extraterrestrial ancestors came down.
A big Steely Dan?
A big Steely something or other. But it's like, you know, they called them, I think it was like the same name, but a little bit different translation. It was like, I think it was like the same name as the Nephilim, which was also Hebrew for those that came down. I mean, if the guy from Newport, I mean, he definitely has, you know, a good head on his shoulders, but take a look at the Bible. I mean, it's just like, you know, we got the standardized version, you know, everybody can put their hands on it, and it's not supposed to be like that. I mean, the Bible is supposed to be like this holy relic. I mean, it's just like, according to like the Hebrews, they don't even touch it with their hands. I mean, they touch it with like this silver pointed hand, you know, and it's like they read it like as if it's one big long name of God. And they have their own way of, you know, corresponding certain images with certain words. And it's like with tree, earth, water, and sun all equal up to 12, you know? It's like for the numerical values of everything and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But it's, I don't know.
Eric, you're just as crazy as Rick.
Nah, not crazy.
Just a little bit.
Just
the Bible
okay,
is of the people
bit.
For the people.
Eric?
Yeah.
Do you find it far-fetched to believe that people from another planet who look much like the rock band ABBA came to the Earth 30,000 years ago and had sex with the Missouri Monster? Do you find that far-fetched or not?
No.
Okay, good.
Thanks for your call, Eric.
All right, bye.
The Chris and Rob Show, phone number 749-1444. Phones have been lit up since our last guest was talking about alien inbreeding with Neanderthals to create humanity as slaves to dig up the gold for the Anunnaki, which is the name of the alien hybrid race that created us.
They needed the gold because they'd grind it up into a fine powder
and
shoot it up into their
it.
Stratosphere
they'd
and it would
like
protect the planet.
That's like the rings of Saturn, except for they'd be made out of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
And it's a planet called Nibiru, and it's actually in orbit around this solar system.
But it's way out there. Even though there's no sun around to keep it warm, it's still out there somewhere. How are they heating a place?
They got gold.
Oh, that's right. 749-1444. You know what it's time for now, Rob?
Snakes on the Loose?
Oh, yeah!
Is this an international edition of Snakes on the Loose?
Tonight, it is an international edition of Snakes on the Loose.
I love the international
right
editions.
Out of Madrid, Spain, here's Rob with tonight's edition of Snakes on the Loose. If you've never heard Chris and Rob's Snakes on the Loose, it's always revolving around a crazy, wacky story in which a real-life snake got on a real-life loose and did something crazy. And here's Rob.
Some thieves in Spain may have gotten more than they bargained for. Poisonous snakes.
This would be in the Madrid Zoo, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Officials say someone broke into the Madrid Zoo and made off with a number of creatures from the Mysterious Nature exhibit. The haul includes 7 harmless snakes and a turtle. But the bad guys also got 10 poisonous snakes, including 8 rattlesnakes, a viper, and a water moccasin, which are just mean snakes. Zoo officials figure the thieves will probably try to sell the hot snakes at a flea market in Norwood.
In Norwood?
Yes, they'll probably come to America and try to sell their stolen snakes. They make snake chili out of them, according to Jim at the Norwood Skyline. But there you go. So, you know, if you're going to break into a zoo and steal snakes, it might be a good idea to read a little plaque out in front of the exhibit first. Like, watch it. This snake will bite you and kill you. As opposed to this snake will bite you and you'll be like, hey, quit biting me. I wonder if Spanish snakes are particularly mean.
We could almost have a historical reenactment here on the Chris and Rob Show of what happens when these supposed thieves in Madrid break into the zoo and find these poisonous snakes in their booty when they get back to their secret hideout. Their secret Spanish Madridian hideout.
Do you think they're dead yet? Do you think maybe they were bitten?
They could be. I mean, a good giveaway for who these guys might be, not unlike when you take the bag of money from the bank and it shoots purple ink all over you, would be when somebody starts showing up at the local Madrid hospital with a lot of snake bites.
He's got rattlesnakes and viper and water moccasin bites all over his body.
That's
got
to be mean. Tonight's edition of Snakes on the Loose, brought to you by the Chris and Rob Talk Show and WAIF, keeping it real. Wow, ain't I funky radio. 88.3 FM, it's quarter till 12. Stick around because the Outside Inside Jazz program will be here. Check out the Chris and Rob website at www.cincinnatlas.com. I'll spell that for you. It's www.cincinnatlas.com. Next week on the Chris and Rob Show, our topic, human cloning. You won't want to miss this as we talk to the lead scientist from Clonaid. Clonaid is a company that is in business of producing clones of you. For $20,000, they're accepting orders now, and they believe that they can begin the cloning process in the year 2002, which is only 3 years away. So tune in next week to find out more about the pros and cons of human cloning. Rob, if you had a clone, what would you make it do?
That would depend on if it's as smart as me. You know, because all the deal is, all the clones would be like you.
You wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
And, yeah, and, you know, you're thinking, hey, I'll get my clone to go to work for me while I hang out. And the clone's thinking, hey, I'll get the idiot to go to work for me while I hang out.
All about this and much more next week on the Chris and Rob program.
And I'll say, listen, clone, I got to get it on.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the only show for riders in the Cincinnati area is on WAIF. It's every Saturday, 5 to 6 p.m. at Scriptus Live. It's hosted by Scott. Information and entertainment for riders, songwriters, and publishers, local, national, novice, and professional. A little philosophy thrown in there for spice. Scriptus Live, it's a show for riders and creative persons of all persuasions.
I think, therefore, I am.
Hey, I think Roden's Thinker's coming to the area, isn't it?
Really?
Louisville, maybe? Lexington?
They're bringing it to Ohio or Kentucky?
I think they're bringing it to the Bluegrass, I believe.
Holy moly, this is the Chris and Rob Show, 749-1444.
Hope he's not naked.
And then he turned to me and said, "Say, are you on my ship list?" I said, "I don't know, Lieutenant, but you're way up there on mine, I can tell you that." We landed in London. I met some beautiful English girls, and I had some great romances over there in London. There was Marie. There was Betty. There was Barbara. There was Reggie. It's pretty blooming foggy over there in London, don't you know there? Oh, I say, ooh. I was a paratrooper, not voluntarily. I was up on the plane with a parachute on, and some wise guy painted restroom on the Bombay doors. There I slid right out, and the sergeant yelled at me. He said, "Pull the ripcord, the chute will open. There'll be a truck down there waiting for when you land." I pulled the ripcord, the chute didn't open. I said, "I'll bet that truck won't be down there either when I get there." Sheriff of Cochise. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, you're a representative of the circus? Yes, sir. What can I do for you? He's reporting an elephant just broke loose. Yes, sir, I'll get a man right on it. Certainly, sir. Harry, get an all points bulletin out. An elephant just pulled it, Harry. Sheriff, sheriff's office. Yes. Mm-hmm. You say you're a housewife. You say there's a large gray monster in your backyard. He has a long tail. He's in your garden. He's pulling up your cabbages with his tail. And then what's he doing with them? The hell he is. Saturday afternoon, the husband and wife, he was sitting around watching TV, and she was house cleaning. He got up, and he was standing there filling his pipe, and she comes walking over and gives him a big boot. He turned around and said, "What was that for?"
"That's just for being a lousy lover."
He thought a minute, took a few puffs on the pipe, turned around and gave her a tremendous boot right in the... Ooh, he really gave her a good one. She turned around and said,
"And what was that for?"
"That's for knowing the difference."
Chris and Rob, late night talk show with Bill Carty, our favorite comedian. Bill Carty from Bill Carty Blasts Off. If you've got a copy of Bill Carty in the basement or in the back of the record collection, maybe you got it the last time you got divorced from your wife. Put it on for a spin. Catch a little buzz, get drunk, and spin a little Bill Carty. You're in for a treat.
If you know anything about Bill Carty, let us know.
Yeah, we're looking for the guy. We can't find him. We want to find Bill Carty, find out what he's up to. We don't even know if he's still alive.
My guess is he's still alive and he's still telling jokes somewhere. Or else he owns a comedy club and he hates all these guys that work blue.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show with only about 6 minutes to go. Lee Harvey is standing by with little Matthew Shipp, ready to turn us on to some jazz. The Outside Inside Jazz program up next, right here on WAIF. And let me tell you, this is just a personal opinion. You don't have to agree with me. But the dude's got it going on when it comes to jazz. I mean, this guy, he's got the outside stuff. He's got the stuff that swings. And when he plays you little Matthew Shipp tonight, you're going to be like, "Who's that dude?" Get it on. So check it out tonight in 5 minutes until about the crack of dawn, jazz on WAIF.
I think it's interesting how there are many Americans who will buy the fact that, hey, we've been visited by aliens. Yeah. There are UFOs. There are people visiting us. There are aliens. And there are also Americans who say, you know, I think there might be something to this Bigfoot guy.
Oh, yeah.
And there are others who say, you know, my gosh, that does look like water damage around the Sphinx. And there hasn't been water in that part of the world for 15,000 years. How could the Egyptians possibly have built the Sphinx when the Egyptians weren't around until that area became a desert? But yet you get somebody who ties it all together, and we want to say, oh, hold on there, Mr. Man. You're just going a little bit too far. You're tying it all together in a neat little bundle. My little mind that has been processed since age 4 in the public school system of this country, where they don't teach you anything except how to stand in line and how to take orders and how to be one of them so you can jump online at the factory or work in the fast food place, or how you can be a good little troll, a good little robot, and follow orders of the man. That's all they teach you in the public school system. They don't teach you how to think for yourself. They don't teach you how to let your mind be open to new and creative and possibly true ideas, such as the fact that at one point the rock band ABBA came down and made love to a Yeti on top of the Himalayas and then dug up all the gold in South Africa.
Oh yeah.
Because your mind is not free, because we've been conditioned.
Open your mind, use your imagination, and think for yourself is our message tonight on the Chris and Rob Show. Think for yourself. Don't follow leaders and pay your parking meters.
Free your mind and your ass will follow.
That's right. You don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
Later. Let's go home. Bye.